Because Karen may have some questions or want to refer to my expertise as the NWDA president when this all was negotiated. Otherwise, I will not.
Very good.
Set myself.
I'm trying to find my PowerPoint. There's a few things on the end of it that I'd like to point out, but I don't know where it is. I just want to slip to a couple of things. I want to talk about something that's really basic to the master plan that I don't think has been brought up, and I think there's some misunderstandings. There's a fundamental part of the master plan that says that the entire site has a 3-to-1 FAR, but that that FAR must be placed on these blocks. And if you can see in the lower left, we created the 200 by 200 foot block pattern. So what happens is you can transfer off of this public open space, the FAR, onto development. That was the big trade, so that we could get our public open space and they could get greater development. I just like to touch upon what that sort of means, the way the master plan looks at it. Every building has a footprint and a height that creates a building envelope. And so in this particular case, this block has a building envelope of, as you've heard, 77 feet and 47 feet. In this one, you have another obligation, and that's the 16,000 square feet of public square. So where you now you have a smaller volume. And this smaller volume is about 120,000 square feet. The master plan itself in the appendix assumed there'd be about 85,000 square feet of development on this site. The proposal is for 182,000. So there's a different understanding of building volume versus the FAR that I think is really a challenge to try to express. But I think what this means is that in order for the early development came in with not enough square, so the solution was not to decrease the amount of development, but to push it into the park. That's sort of where we believe this problem started. And I think we also need to be reminded that the approval criteria is to better meet these things and not better meet the prior proposal where the square was too small, but better meet the master plan. I want to also mention a couple of other things. I think this master plan is there since 2012, and the intent is that this block is about the square and the development supports that square. It's in the master plan. It was there when the developer purchased the property. We think it's an opportunity to create an amazing development that is there with a square and there with a park. And what the developer looked at was an obstacle. Gosh, we have to provide these public open spaces. Gosh, I have to have more in order to do that. And that's why it's taller. It's into the park. The square is smaller, etc. So I think that's sort of where one of the fundamental disagreements is between the developer and the neighborhood. So there's a couple of things that have come up about sort of movements and changes to the park, and I think, or to the master plan, and I think it's important to think about what a master plan is and the efforts that were put into it and whether or not a master plan can be supported by this city. If we're making all of these changes to it, why are we having a master plan at all? So I'm going to ask Ron again to talk a little bit more about the process by which and all of the work and all of the years. The developer talks about the years that he's put into this development. There were a lot of years put into developing the master plan.
Thank you. Following up on both what Karen was saying and Commissioner Salzman asked about, the master plan predates the applicant's ownership. So they knew what they were getting into when they bought it. They knew what the limitations were. That has not changed. So the aspirations were what was developed by the community, hundreds of people in this community, not in Barcelona. So while we can aspire to Barcelona, I think the community was aspiring to simply have what's in the master plan. And that's was considered the reasonable compromise by at least three members in this group. Another complicating factor that hasn't really come up is that it was the developer chose to, or the applicant decided to choose to develop this parcel as a standalone parcel.
Just so you know, I'm going to let you continue and we'll count the time, and then I will let the principal opponent, if they'd like to add to their time as well.
Great, I'll keep it short.
So you
thank you.
The opportunity
I appreciate that.
Sure.
So the fact that they decided to develop it as a standalone parcel has created immense problems. The master plan did not envision that. One of the opponents said that the there's a phasing plan, and there is. Things like the entrance on to the parking garage on Quimby Festival Street wouldn't happen if the phasing in the master plan were followed, because it would block 290 and 291 would be developed together, and the parking garage entrance would be on Raleigh. So some of the problems have been caused by the fact that Conway decided to sell this property as a standalone parcel, and the applicant and developer are developing it as a standalone parcel. I'll just reiterate what Karen has said. This looks nothing like what was envisioned by the developers of the master plan and the community that was predating it. It has nothing to do with Barcelona, though I think some of those examples are fantastic inspiration.
Very good. Thank you. Principal opponent, if you want an extra minute and 15 seconds after Commissioner, if there's questions, Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. Yeah, so minute 15 is extra, but I have a question about the FAR,
yes.
Floor area ratio. Is that relying on transfer from the adjacent park?
It is relying on transfer from the Quimby Festival Street to the north, or part of the Quimby Festival Street to the north, and the west 60 feet of the park. That additional FAR is transferred onto the development footprint. That's where the 182,000 came from. I think they actually had 200,000, but...
Well, so obviously that's a very wonky thing, and I appreciate
it is wonky.
I appreciate your knowledge of it, because I'm not as familiar with it. You are stating that it's too much, and the applicant says it's not. Could you just explain the different points of view?
So, again, there's a building envelopes defined in the master plan. So you have a building envelope on this block that's, like a quart bottle. You can transfer FAR anywhere. So the FAR that he's transferred to this site can be transferred anywhere in the district. And if you look at the master plan heights limits, you'll see that there are blocks that are all the way to 150 feet in height. So the intent has always been that the FAR would transfer off of the open space and onto blocks that can handle it and are actually meant to handle it, and not this block. So I think the challenge has been since the beginning is to try to put two quarts of water into a one-quart container.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And does the applicant now own the entire site, or have they just purchased this property?
Well, I think you'd have to ask them. My understanding was they had purchased the southern, that all of Block 290, including the park itself. So yeah. The development site, the 200 by 200 development site, and the 200 by 260. And I maybe Quimby, you'll have to ask them.
I will ask. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Very good.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Principal opponent, 115, if you want it.
It's
Mr. Mayor, probably the most useful thing would be to answer questions that you may have. And I think one was about the ownership of the site.
Go ahead, Don. So we own the entire parcel, so both the park parcel and then the building footprint parcel.
But not anywhere else. So from your perspective, you either put the FAR onto this project or you have to either, you could sell it there, right? You could transfer the development rights to the next adjacent property.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
So the we just had explained to us by the Neighborhood Association that it was envisioned that there wouldn't be quite such an intense building around the plaza, and that the transferable development rights were envisioned to go somewhere else in the district. If you only own 290 and the adjacent park, then you're not going to be saving any transfer of development rights to sell to somebody else?
No. We're utilizing all of the available FAR on our site.
Yes, that's where we get into. But you could keep them and then sell them elsewhere, couldn't you? Even though you don't own, and maybe I could check with the staff on this, but I think even though you don't...
Right. We have an agreement with our seller, who's XBO, formerly Conway, uh-huh. where we cannot sell any incremental or extra FAR. That needs to go back to XBO.
And they own the rest of the site still?
They own. We have to give them back. We cannot sell any surplus FAR. We cannot benefit from that. So we're utilizing the FAR that we're allowed on our site.
Right. I think that's where
we cannot benefit from additional AR, FAR.
That's where we're getting into some problems, because the master plan was done looking at the whole area, and now, as was mentioned, we're doing it out of phase and just looking at these two parcels, which is challenging.
Yes, the theory, if I understand their theory of calculating FAR, we would have to reduce the available FAR by the FAR that would be associated with the square and perhaps by the north-south pedestrian accessway. But that's not required anywhere. There's no mandatory transfer of FAR off the site.
No, I understand that. Thank you.
I have just a comment. Having been charged with building out a number of master plans, I have been humbled by things called market timing, access to capital, private sector decision making. The best of intentions, we're still going to build things out in a way that is flexible and is market driven. And the best example of that on the negative end is how few cranes we had in the air during the recession, how difficult it was to do affordable housing. But, Mr. Ramos, I'm inclined to offer a condition of approval, unless you just accept it as a friendly amendment, that the applicant will consult with RAC in the development of the public art, both at the private development and at the park.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea, and I think we would agree to such a condition.
Okay, thank you.
Are they not required to do so anyway?
Well, they as I understand it, there's a question mark about on the plaza whether they have to engage RAC. They do have to use RAC on the park. My suggestion is that we do them holistically so that we're not disconnected, and the applicant has agreed to that.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you.
We appreciate it. Council discussions, legal counsel, if you could restate the three options before us, please.
So first, you have to decide whether or not you're going to close the record or leave the record open and continue the hearing or close the hearing completely.
Very good. So we have three options there. We can close the evidentiary hearing. We can keep it open.
Mayor, I move to close the record.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish.
Second.
We have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, vote aye. Or excuse
aye.
Me. I'm sorry. I'm not at the county anymore. Carla, please call the roll.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
I'm voting aye because I think it was a comprehensive and very thoughtful hearing with a full record. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
Okay.
The evidentiary, the record is now closed. This means that the council will accept no more oral or written testimony on the land use appeal.
Okay.
Would
you like to present to them their options? Yeah.
We have the cheat sheet.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all I was going to say.
It sounds like Commissioner Saltzman's ready to make a motion, so okay. Why don't we go ahead and let him do
just
that?
Just refer to your cheat sheet.
With the condition just offered by Commissioner Fish, I would move to deny the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision to approve
I'll second
with conditions.
That.
So we have a motion to deny the appeal from Commissioner Saltzman and to uphold the Design Review Commission with the added condition as stated by Commissioner Fish with regard to public art. Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Fish seconds. Discussion?
Just as a reminder, today would be a tentative vote, and then you come back to adopt the final vote when staff has had the opportunity to prepare the findings.
Very good.
So I'd like to just discuss the issue for me. I mean, we were told that we need this housing, therefore the public benefit outweighs the public damage. But the affordable housing is paid for by the tax abatement, and it's on the whole building, and it's not all that affordable anyway, 80%. So we've already got way too many luxury apartments or condos as it is. So I don't think that's the crux of the issue. I think the issue is, does it conform to the master plan, and does it provide the kind of vibrant open spaces or public open spaces that was envisioned? As the neighbourhood said, they spent a long time doing that master plan. So this being the first project out of the gate to be a major disappointment, I think gives me pause about whether we should ask it for some more appropriate development.
Well, just on the discussion point of view, I would agree with you, Commissioner Fritz. There is a benefit to the developer by doing the affordable housing. I still think that, you know, we need housing, period, whether it's affordable of any kind. We need housing in this city. So there is affordability there. But I guess what sways me is that, you know, with all due respect to the people who labored long and hard over the master plan, it takes someone to step forward and give life to that master plan. And this is the proposal before us. This is the proposal that has been before the Design Commission for over 3 years now. And with your input every step of the way, and it seems to be a consensus proposal. You know, I know that the opponents don't like every aspect of it, but it seems to me there has to be a marriage here of what the master plan calls for and what the private sector is stepping up to give life to. And it seems to me the marriage is a pretty good fit, and I looked at the Design Commission as the ultimate person or entity that I'm taking my cues from on this one. So that's why I'm supporting the Design Commission. I think they labored long and hard over all these issues that we're hearing today, and this is where they came down, and I'm going to back it on this one.
Any further discussions? Yeah. Commissioner Fish.
So for me, this is a close call, Mayor, and I appreciate the comments of both of my colleagues. And frankly, early on in the hearing, I was probably leaning a little bit the other way. But here's why I'm prepared to support Commissioner Saltzman's motion. This process has gone on for 39 months. And even by the expansive standards of some of the other matters that have come before us, 39 months is a goodly long period of time with a lot of eyes. And over that time, I actually think the product has gotten better. In fact, while it's not necessarily germane to our decision, I actually think this building is quite attractive. Second, we have a 16,000 square foot plaza. I was on the council when we adopted the master plan. I believe I was the parks commissioner at the time. And I take a second seat to no one in this council in wanting to have vibrant and humane scaled and successful public spaces. I don't feel as negative about this space. I think the challenge is going to be how it's programmed. And so I think the developer is taking on a significant responsibility to program it in a way that makes it attractive. And I got a little nervous when I saw the guy with the electric guitar in the middle of the plaza, because I live in a building where the owner, I live in a rental building where the owner had the bright idea of putting this big deck just below my window, and people play loud music at night. And maybe I'm just getting older, but I would prefer they not. On the question of a master plan, I think we're at risk here of investing almost a scientific precision to a master plan rather than an organic and evolutionary concept. A master plan is a statement of aspiration. But everything that follows is based on the ability of capital to be brought in, a developer to take a chance, design process, interaction with the community, and by definition, it's going to evolve and change. And it doesn't actually have to meet my own personal aesthetic standards, although I prefer that the final project be something that I could imagine sometime living in, although I probably could not afford this building, but I mean, I still would like it to be a place that I could live in, and I think this is an attractive building. I don't think the multi-program on this building is such a compelling public benefit. The fact that we have a program that gives a 10-year tax abatement on all the residential units in exchange for 20% that are 80% of AMI is better than nothing. And I appreciate the developer doing it. I'm not being dismissive. It is a program we offer, but it does not address the current crisis on our streets. And therefore, I think we are erring on the side of investing public resources in a kind of housing that does not currently meet the crisis. It's nice to have, but it is not what is the essential missing piece, in my view. Finally, it means a lot to me that the Design Commission spent all the time they did and got to a 5-0 vote. And I'm just going to say that if we are going to have high-level advisory bodies with expertise helping us make these decisions, I think we have to pay attention to how they vote and how they interact with the application. Or else we should relieve them of all the thankless work we asked them to do, and we should just become the Design Commission, which I actually think would be a terrible mistake, not because I have any doubts about the aesthetic judgment of my clients, but we don't have the time to be the Design Commission. So we've asked a bunch of enlightened citizen volunteers to do the work for us and make recommendations. And we have had split votes before. We've had vigorous disagreements. But I think a 5-0 vote after all the effort put in is noteworthy. And so when I look at the time this project has been in the pipeline, when I look at the high quality of the design, when I look at the fact that there is 16,000 square feet of plaza which needs to be activated to be successful, when I add the modest but important public benefit of some affordability, when I think about the fact that a master plan is nothing without some further discussions which require flexibility and compromise and engagement, and when I consider a 5-0 vote, I respectfully have to conclude that this now is ready to move forward. And while I appreciate the concerns raised by the neighborhood, and I listened very, very carefully to them, and they were thoughtful, on this particular motion, I will vote with Commissioner Saltzman.
Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Udaly.
Well, thank you to Hillary once again for a clear, concise presentation. Thank you also to Julie for your service on the Design Review Committee and to the Design Review Committee. These hearings are always fascinating to consider, and they're always challenging to decide on because both sides bring legitimate concerns to the issue. I'm excited about the park. I'm excited about the plaza. I'm happy we'll get some affordable housing. I agree with Commissioner Fritz and Fish, though, that we really do have a glut of market and luxury rate units. And, you know, by and large, developers are not building to the demand that exists in the city, but are building, I guess, in the hopes of more wealthy people moving here, which doesn't help our crisis in the end. But I really can't find significant enough grievance or conflict and defer to Design Review Committee on this. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, yes, I agree with all the thanks to everybody. Just to be clear, though, the previous owner was the one that started it back 3 or 4 years ago. The current application started in April of 2016, and the notice of proposal was April of 2017. So, and the approval criteria are not, is it better than the previous version? It's, does it meet the approval criteria? And does it meet the master plan standards in this case? It seems to be clear that it doesn't. It encroaches 15 feet into the park area. I don't like the access from the so-called Festival Street. I think that's going to be a major problem with 200 residents may be calling Uber or somebody else if they don't have or can't find places to park their cars, but I think that that's likely to be used quite a lot by the residents. I don't like the 70 feet of essentially dead space on fronting onto the plaza of the access only for the residents. I think that doesn't develop the kind of vibrancy that I was hoping for when I voted for the master plan. And with the development agreement for the adjacent park not yet, I'll say finalised, that's the accurate, it's not like finalised. It's of concern to me that we're approving this development before having some of the other pieces in place. No.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. This is a tentative vote. The motion passes 4-1. The appeal is denied subject to conditions.
And when will you be coming back to adopt?
And we will be coming back, Carla, for the final vote.
How long do you need?
How long? So, November 1st, November 2nd? Does that work?
November 1st is would be better.
November 1st?
Okay, it'd be 2:45.
And does that work for you, Mr. Ennis?
That's good to go.
So 2:45.
So, what, at time certain, 2:45?
Yes, November 1st.
November 1st at 2:45. And per Portland zoning code, the applicant will be preparing the revised findings in coordination with Bureau of Development Services and the City Attorney's Office.
I'm sorry. Commissioner Saltzman is gone on the afternoon. Would the morning?
Oh, in the morning.
Sorry, let's move it to the morning. 11 a.m.
Okay, so the final vote will take place on November 1st, 2017, 11 a.m., Portland City Hall chambers. There being no further business, we are adjourned. Yes, sir.
I feel like I could.
Okay. All right, Hillary, here's me.
That's good. Thanks, Nick.